2.
So that's the work done in collaboration. The work I'm talking about is the work done in collaboration with Stéphane Avignac from Saclay and Jean Parmentier, which is our joint PhD student. And it's about, as you will see, it's a kind of a most engaged mediation model.
The one which speaks louder, no?
So it's about a model which, as you'll see, it's about stress-intensity breaking. And more precisely, it's about something which is basically engaged mediation, as you see. You'll see why the word hybrid is coming from, because there is a gravitational contribution, but which is subdominant, which is basically engaged mediation, but engaged mediation in which the LSP is the neutralino. And you'll see why. That's the outline of the talk. So I'll first of all have some general comments which are probably known by everybody about gauge and gravity mediation, some advantages and problems. Then define what I would call hybrid models, which is just some combination of the two, in which gauge mediation will be dominant, eventually sufficiently dominant to solve for the favored changes problems generically appearing gauge and gravity mediation. But the gravity contribution will not be completely negligible. So that's to be the definition I take for hybrid models. Then I'll talk about the main model which I'll discuss, which is a model which is basically a gauge mediation model in which, for some very simple reason, the BO does not take a mass from gauge mediation. That's what it is. It's a gauge mediation model in which at one loop the BO mass is zero for a reason which will become obvious later on. Then, so that's the main part of the it's a very simple message. So then I'll talk about the Suzy breaking sector. And the Suzy breaking sector I'll talk about is an option. You can take any kind of model for Suzy breaking and add it to the message I'm talking about. So those are very important. And then some comments about the phenomenology and some prospects. So these are standard things. So again, I'm trying to discuss here the gravity and the gauge mediation and their advantages and disadvantages. As you know, in gravity mediation, we typically talk about the hidden sector, which interacts only with non-homologous interactions, gravitational interactions typically. So you have a hidden sector which breaks supersymmetry through the Weber's auxiliary filter sound fields, which can be some modular fields in the string theory, for example, so which breaks supersymmetry, and therefore, and afterwards, the supersymmetry breaking is transmitted through MSSM, or energization of it. And if you define strength of supersymmetry breaking, you can define it in flat space, in Minkowski space, the gravitational mass by the standard formulae. And the typical size of supersymmetry breaking, softer from several sector because it's a soft breaking, is the gravitational mass. And here is just one expression of these soft sample of several sectors, which depends basically on the couplings of the standard model fields to these hidden sectors. Now, the advantage, one of the big advantages of the gravity mediation, first of all, is very natural, actually. It's the gravity mediation is very natural in any kind of string model, for example. A more practical advantage is that this provides a natural solution for this new problem, for the Higgs parameter mu in the square potential, and also the B mu parameter in the scalar potential of MSSM, by the so-called Dudigma zero mechanism, which I have not described, but generate very naturally mu and B mu terms of the order of the gravitational mass. Basically, all kind of string models contain implicitly, one way or another, these gravity contributions. The problem, which again I'm not entering details, which is a generic problem but not necessarily a killer of all this gravity mediation, is that typically these fields which break supersymmetry do not necessarily couple in the Faber-Blanc way. And typically, it's the other way around. if you want to generate some favor structure for Birkhoff couplings, generically you'd like these fields to couple in a favor dependent way, and then since they fit supersymmetry breaking, you'll generate favor changing neutral car interactions for MSM fields. As I said, it's a generic problem, but not a killer. There are gravity models, of course, relatively easy to engineer, but let's say not generic, but not natural, in which you can get rid of this problem. So, in what follows, I would assume generically that gravity generates typically this favor change of the current space. To simplify the discussion. So, some of the solutions to this favor change problem, first of all, favor universality, which is the most obvious one. You just ask your field which breaks per symmetry to cover in a favor independent way. So, you get a mass matrix for the quarkons, leptons in the family space, which is just proportional to identity matrix. The second solution, which is called alignment, which is the Yukawa couplings for the quarkon leptons and the scalar masses for quarkon leptons to be diagonalizable in the same basis. When we diagonalize that, the Yukawa coupling automatically diagonalize also the quarkons, leptons masses. This is the alignment. But if none of them is really at work in a given model, then you have limits on the quarkon lepton masses, which are 50 or 100 TeV, depending on the how much you take seriously the CP kind of constraints. But you have to push the spectrum for sure in a mass range in which you have no chance to see it any square partner at HT. It means quarkon lepton at HT. And again, in a specific model, you could have universality, you could have alignment. I'll again, for the rest of the discussion, take the attitude that this is not really generic, and therefore, typically, can have problems. And again, this is debatable. This statement is again debatable. The gain mediation on the other side, it's something which is typically related to a kind of a lower energy physics. So you typically have a Suzy breaking sector, which again can be the same. The Suzy breaking sector can be the same for gauge and gravity, but typically for gauge mediation, people consider traditionally lower energy supersymmetry breaking sectors with lighter fields, let's say, which couple to a messenger sectors which is charged directly under standard model gauge fields with such a normalizable coupling. And therefore, supersymmetry breaking is fit through gauge interactions and therefore is never blind. That's a very simple natural idea, of course. These messengers are typically vector-like because you would like to be able to couple them to a field which is a gauge singlet on a standard model. This X is a field breaking supersymmetry, but it's a gauge singlet typical on a standard model. They have to be charged in order to produce through the loops the soft terms you need. Typically, you consider HU5 complete multiplets in order to preserve gauge coupling unification. For example, pair of 5-5 bars or 10-10 bars. And again, the feeding of the supersymmetry breaking through gauge interaction is provide a solution to the favor changing neutral currents problem. And typically you have one scale, which is this ratio between this auxiliary field which breaks supersymmetry divided by the mass of these messengers, which provides that one loop gauge masses, two loop scalar masses. And the fact that the gauge genus appear at one loop and scalars appear to loop give masses of the same order. And typically, the gravitino is very light. You want to get rid of the favor changing problems, and therefore you take gravitino very light, which is therefore always the LSP, almost always, as I'll show you, the LSP. So we have the gravitino, and then eventually the something like neutralino and so on. Right, so that's the one of the main features of the gauge mediation, a very light gravitino. It's a main feature of what I would call actually minimal gauge mediation. As you will see, there is one very simple modification of this which gives automatically actually the very light neutralino. Now, the minimal gauge mediation, just some comments, has some hypotheses. For example, that's something which I'll not discuss at all in this seminar, but it's useful for other proposals. For example, the super 20cm squared is equal to zero in the messenger sector. There are other more complicated models which do not satisfy this requirement. I'm not talking about this part here. Secondly, we add SU5 symmetric messenger masses in the minimal case. And this will be the part which I actually remove. And that we'll have messenger masses which are not SU5 symmetric in such a way that you get automatically very light neutrality. The advantages of gauge mediation, the typical advantages, of course, first of all, it solves the Trevor problem. And in its minimal version, it has a highly predictive spectrum. The well-known problems, one of them are pragmatic. It is very difficult to generate a mu and bmu of correct size. That's one of the main problems of gauge mediation. Typically, you get a B term, which is too high to induce the correct electroexistive breaking. Or, if you keep bmu to be of the correct order, then you have too small mu. And from a more than building point of view, if you want to make explicit the sector break supersymmetry, it's very hard. Very hard. And typically you have to live with metastable vacua. And that's also something which is relatively difficult. It's difficult to get rid. So this, so I would say, from a model building point of view, it's very hard to have models with supersymmetry breaking in the ground state, and it's very difficult to generate the Higgs parameters needed for electroexcitatory breaking. Now, the hybrid model I define the hybrid model as the following. So let's introduce the messenger fields, phi and phi tilde messenger fields, and it's a mass matrix in general. X is the field or couple of fields which breaks supersymmetry. And I'm writing here the ratio between the gauge mediation contribution and the gravity contribution, generically gravity contribution, which is gravitational mass, two soft terms. And we can write it, of course, in a simple way in terms of a loop factor coming from this gauge mediation mass and the messenger mass. And it's easy to see, very easy to see, if the messengers are very heavy, if the messengers are much heavier than were traditionally considered, for example, something like 10 to the 13, 10 to 16 GV, then you get a case in which the two contributions can compete with each other. From my perspective, for later on, I'll take the gauge contribution to dominate with a factor of 30 or 100 over the gravity mediation. But still, as you see, I'll be in a range with the mass of the messengers in which the gravitational contribution, even if it's a dominant, is not completely negligible. So in this case, if you take both contributions, you have for a scalar mass, you have a contribution from gravity, contribution from gauge mediation, something similar for the gauge masses here. And again, since these models are very close to gauge mediation, most of these models will be metastable. And it turns out that in this case, the parameter which govern metastability, is basically this coupling of the Suzy breaking field to the messengers. If you want to have a vacuum which breaks per symmetry, which is very stable, you basically have to take this coupling to be very small in order to enhance the lifetime of our vacuum. And the reason is the standard one again. The reason is the standard one, when you couple a Suzy breaking sector to messengers have the tendency to adding a lower minimum, which is either supersymmetric or maybe breaks supersymmetry, which is a lower energy. And if you want to avoid messenger fields to get a web, and if messenger fields get a web create a problem because they break color, for example, then you have to take this coupling to be very small in order to assure that the lifetime in the vacuum we want with zero web of the messengers is the lifetime is very large. So this parameter is typically small. So I would say, with some kind of quotation marks, the stability in some sense prefer gravity mediation. On the other hand, these models, which are, again I call hybrid, combine advantages of both transmissions if you have a kind of a small hierarchy between the gauge mediation scale and the gravitational mass. Say something like the TV for the gauge mediation and something like 30 GD or so for the gravitational mass. And I didn't give here a list. I mean, this idea of hybrid, of course, it's an obvious idea. It's very old. I mean, a lot of people, one way or another, in politics. So there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing new or breakthrough in just assuming this thing. It's an obvious idea. Now, maybe just so that's the main part, which is a very simple. It's a very simple observation, actually, which so all my talk is based on this very simple observation. First of all, if you want to have something in which the gravity is not negligible, again the messenger has to be heavy. And typically again, messengers are some complete representations. For example, 5 bars, 10 bar. And in both cases, of course, we can couple these messengers to an identity matrix, which is asymmetric mass. But all of them, of course, can be coupled. One of them contains also a couplings to something which I'll call the adjoint of NSU5. However, what really matters in the follows, not details about any kind of unification model, what does matter in the following is that the messenger mass has a contribution which is proportional to the hypercharge generator. The adjoint of an SU5 has a bed which is along the hypercharge generator. So, I'll say in the following, it's enough to assume, if you don't want to talk about SU5, which would be irrelevant to what follows, that the messenger mass, in addition to this simple standard mass, has a component which would be actually the dominant one for me, which is just along the hypercharge generator. So that's the. So that's what I wrote here. I wrote the coupling of these messengers to this, what I call it, a joint, in which case, of course, the mass matrix of the messenger is proportional to the hypercharge. And just to give an example, for 5 bar messengers, these are 5 bar messengers, the triplets, for example, in the messengers, are lighter than the messenger doublets. Whereas if you take some 10 bar messengers, these three fields, which are part of the, these are SU3, SU2, and U1 quantum numbers of the messengers, have a mass which are like that. And therefore, of course, you are in a situation in which it is gate mediation. For the time being, it's pure gate mediation, of course. But you have a peculiar spectrum. It's not this minimal gate mediation. You have a peculiar spectrum at high energy. I'll not mention what follows. Of course, when you do this, you perturb a little bit gauge cap unification. I'll not enter into detail, but this modification, gauge cap unification, is very small. It's very small, and it's much smaller than a possible gut threshold, actually. But it's true that you are perturbing a little bit the gauge cap unification. So again, the main point is this. The mass matrix proportional to the hypercharge generator. And then you see immediately what's the main outcome is that the gauge contribution to the Wino mass is proportional to the hypercharge squared divided by the messenger mass, and therefore, in this case, it's proportional to the hypercharge, the trace of the hypercharge generator, which is zero. So the Wino gets no mass at one loop. And therefore, if you were in a situation in which if the gravitational mass is really extremely small, if it's really extremely small, you have to go to two loops. And there is a contribution for two loops. This cancellation is not all order, actually. It's only one loop. However, we'll be in a situation in which the two loop contribution to the Wino mass will be smaller than the gravitational mass. We'll take, to just give you some numbers, the gravitational mass something like, let's say, 50, 100 GB, and the gauge mediation scale of the order of TV. Therefore, in our case, the main contribution to the Wino mass will come from gravity, which is of the order of the gravitational mass. In this case, and therefore, I don't need to worry about the two contributions to the Wino mass. So, in this case, the neutralino is the LSP, even if the mediation is mostly gauge. So, even if it's gauge mediation, the LSP, the neutralino is the LSP, the lighter neutralino is the LSP. Not only is the LSP, but it's actually much lighter than the other superpartners. For example, if you, in the standard low energy MSSM spectrum from gravity, you don't expect the neutralism to be something like 50 GeV, whereas all the other partners are in the GeV range. In this case, you can get neutralino to be, if not even 10 GV, I'm not talking about such values, I'm not interested in these values, but neutralino can be much, much lighter than the rest in the natural way. And just as a parenthesis, there are other ways to get neutralino LSP by conformal sequestering. There are at least two papers on this, but there are some differences with respect to what I said. And anyway, so that's here the main message, that you get it by just assuming that the main messenger must come from this term here. Okay, so that's the basic point, which is very simple, of course, obvious. And then I give some application of this. This actually I give it to, I forgot to put it, I'll discuss it at the very end because it's the logical part. Now, for the supersymmetry breaking sector, as I said, you can take any kind of supersymmetry breaking sector and to attach it to the side. Yeah. So you have a model in which you have a messenger mass, which also coupled to supersymmetry breaking field, and any kind of supersymmetry breaking sector is good enough to apply this. What I said. But let me give you some details about one possible SUSY breaking sector, and in our analysis we use this recently proposed supersymmetry breaking in the metastable state by Brigador, Seiler and Schitz. And I will talk about in detail about the model, it's not important. What is important is it's okay, so there is a model which breaks supersymmetry, and I'll not talk about the origin of this model, it's a kind of a Rafferty model if you want. This X field breaks supersymmetry, there is a coupling to other fields called magnetic quarks. And what is important, what will be important later on for me, is that these fields breaking supersymmetry, the fields from this sector will couple to the Higgs with two Higgs doubles and SSM. So they will generate through non-normalizable interaction the mu and b mu terms. And because of this, and also partially because of this Beno mass, I need to consider the gravitational mass, which is not completely negligible. So in order to solve simultaneously mu b mu problem and having an LSP neutralino, I don't want to have a pure gauge mediation with negligible gravitational mass. So that's why having a gravitational mass in something like 50 GV range will help. As you will see, you can generate mu and b mu terms in the 2G range. The SUSY breaking vacuum in this model has zero verbs for these fields, and this will be the field, so-called mesons, which breaks supersymmetry actually. The magnetic quarks take some verbs. They do not participate at this stage of supersymmetry breaking, but they break some symmetry which will generate supersymmetry breaking. And the parameter which I introduced before, which had to be small in order to have a large lifetime of our universe, in this case is related to a dynamical generated scale. The dynamical scale of this problem divided by Planck mass, so it's naturally much more than one. So that's the kind of model we'll use in the following. Again, any kind of other model with dynamical supersymmetry, broken supersymmetry is good enough. We don't need really, I mean, there is nothing peculiar about using this model except its simplicity. Since I use this model, I get a little bit more into details. This model has some flat direction at tree level. We have some fields in this. I forgot to say probably that these fields are matrices actually. They are so-called mesons. So these NF times NF matrices, where NF is the number of flavors in this field, in this model. So these are matrices. Some of the fields like this one have tree level potential. Others like here are flat directions, and therefore in order to really find the vacuum of the model, you have to go to one loop, and at one loop actually it turns out that the supersymmetry breaking itself into the loops give a contribution and they remove these flat directions, whereas the messengers also contribute a potential. Putting the messenger in the loops also contribute, and in our case the specific nature of the messenger and the mass of the messenger of course change a little bit the discussion with respect to SU5 symmetric messenger sector. So you have one loop corrections from this SUSY breaking sector. You have one loop corrections by putting messenger in the loop. You generate therefore potentials for these fields which breaks per symmetry. And generically what's happening is you generate waves, and the waves for this field, you have a kind of a one loop error in between the two waves. This wave actually is bigger than this wave here actually. This wave is a loop factor bigger than this one. That's what we get by minimization. I'm not getting the video because again it's not really the important point. You can use other kind of models for symmetry breaking. In the end what you'll find a gravitational mass which is related to a dynamical scale squared divided by Planck mass. So you would like to have this dynamical scale as usual, some intermediate scale, maybe a little bit smaller, maybe, because the gravitational mass here is not really TV, but it's more like in 50-100 GV range. Without getting into details, you get mu and b mu terms, and they come again through these non-normalizable operators. So they come through this normalizable operator. So from this point of view, again, it's a kind of a hybrid model because you do get mu and b mu terms through normalizable operators. And as you see, both these quarks and the mesons that one would get a wave. When you compute the mu and b mu terms, you realize that the mu term is proportional to the gravitational mass, but times some ratio of the coupling. So if you have this dimensionless coupling to be something like 10 to the minus 1, you can easily generate a mu term which is bigger. And the most important and different compared to the standard gauge mediation is that the B term is decoupled from the mu term. So they have a different origin, if you want. They have a different origin because if you look at the B term, actually B term is mostly related to a wave of this field, which appeared at one loop. So if you choose the parameters in a relatively simple way, you need some dimensionless couplings of order 10 to minus 1 to do this. You will generate B in the mu term in the TV range, and therefore parametrically bigger by the factor, by a small factor compared to the gravitational mass. Again, in this model, you can generate through the normalizable operators, and because the gravitational mass is not negligible actually, you can generate the mu and B mu in the TV range. Okay, so that's the main message. So you have a kind of a gauge mediation model which gives no mass to the Vino. There is also a small gravitational contribution which will mostly give the Vino mass and will generate mu and B mu. And what happens at low energy qualitatively is the following. Squares, leptons, charginos, gluinos, and the three of the neutralinos get mass from gauge mediation. The lightest neutralino is mostly Bino. Its mass, let's say that the Bino mass is a gravitational mass at high scale. Why it's high scale? Because, again, its messenger masses are very high, of the order 10 to 13, 14 GV. At low energies, therefore, the neutralino is, let's say, half of the gravitational mass. And therefore, the LSP is the neutralino, which is mostly Bino. Being mostly Bino, as you know from the collider point of view, it can be very light. In principle, it can be extremely light. But again, just to give numbers, I'll be interested in Bino masses of the order of 40, let's say, GV, something like that. This will be the order of magnitude of our LSP, something like 40 GV. B and the mu term have a gravitational origin, but are somehow enhanced with the gravitational mass. So their exact values depend a little bit on these parameters. If you take some of these couplings with something like 10 to minus 1, you can get mu and b mu in the TV range easily. Now, what's the spectrum of the messenger scale? Since the mass comes basically from this, since the mass is proportional to the hypercharge generator, you have something, a very specific spectrum for the messenger scale. For example, if you have 5-5 bar messenger pairs, you have a ratio between the gluino mass and the gaugino, SU2 gaugino mass, which is 3 halves, which is just coming from this ratio of the masses of the triplet and doublet messengers, actually.
So first of all, of course, you get the genome universality, that's for sure.
But not only get the non-universality, you get a specific ratio
of the Gay genotype scale, where this NM is, as usual, the number of messenger pairs. So you get this ratio at high scale. At high scale, the ratio of the gluino and gauge masses is 3/2 times the standard ratio of the gauge couplings, which translates, if, for example, into TV energies and the ratio, which is about 4. It's about 4. In this case, in which the messengers are 5-5 bar pairs, you get at high energy this kind of ratios between the left-handed quarks, right-handed U and D quarks, left-handed leptons and right-handed leptons. These are ratios in units of this number of messengers times the gauge mass square, actually. There's nothing very peculiar in this case with this ratio, but this ratio, again, are fixed by the precise ratio between the color and doublet messenger masses. And they are very different. Again, they are different compared to the ratio you will get in the minimal gauge mediation. For if you consider, on the other hand, 10-10 bar messenger pairs, for 10-10 bar messenger pairs, if you remember, there are the messengers had masses of like this. So these are the messenger inside the template, and these are their masses. In this case, you find something really peculiar. You find something peculiar. Okay, first of all, again, there is a specific ratio between the gluino and the SU2 gauge masses, which gives a ratio which is this one. Again, in this case, it turns out that if in the 5-5 bar case the gluino was heavier than the gauge genome at high scale, in this case again you get the other way around. The gauge genome is heavier than the gluino, and the ratio, of course, at low scale, as usual, the gluino takes over, but it's barely heavier than the gluino, than the gauge genome at low scale at 1 TV. It's 1.5 compared to 4 here. But the most interesting things is that in this case you get a very light right-handed lepton, actually. The precise number, of course, not easy to explain, but roughly speaking, what's happening is that in this case the hypercharge, if you want, messenger is much heavier than the gluino and than the colored and SU2 messengers. In this case, this field, if you look at the messenger in the template, you see this field which has a hypercharge and its color and SU2 singlet is heavier than the others. Because of this, when you compute the masses of the right-handed leptons, in this case of 10-10 bar plates, you get a right-handed lepton which is much lighter than the quarks or the left-handed leptons by a significant ratio. It's at least 20. It's a factor of 20 here. Now, I'll not get into the details here, but the fact that this right-handed lepton is light is important to make the model alive. If you want to have neutralino mass below 50 GV, it's well known that it typically overflows the universe unless you have very efficient annihilation. And one of the typical annihilation in this case, which neutralino is very light, is to have slight leptons in the TNU channel. You have the LSP, which neutralino exchanging a lepton and then giving lepton anti-lepton pair. And if you didn't have these very light leptons, it would never work. These leptons has to be very, very light, more than 90 GV or 100 GV, something like that. So that's fortunate in this case, and it's really related to, again, to this peculiar mass for the messengers. That's one important point. This is all the same story. Again, the Bino gets mass from the gravity and from another operator, you could try to, even if you don't want gravity mediation to add to this mass matrix inside this mass, you can add an operator like that if you want. This again will contain a singlet component, and this will give this will contain a singlet component to give a mass to the Bino. So the Bino has contribution from several operators, but it turns out in our case for the gravitino in the 50-100 GeV range is the gravitino mass, which is the biggest contribution to the Bino mass. And the other superpartner masses, again with the exception of the neutralino and the right-handed lepton in this 10-10 bar case, roughly speaking, are between 300 GeV and 1 TeV, with some small variations depending on the how many 5 plates, how many 10 plates. But roughly speaking, between 300 and 1 TeV. Now, I should have put this later on. Some comments about the Some comments about the flavor changing. So one of the main motivation, for this hybrid was the flavor changing, in the sense that the soft terms from the MSSM fields have typically, again, a contribution for gauge mediation, which is universal, IGR flavor indices, family indices, and a contribution from the gravity contribution, which are some matrix which you don't know, but is supposed to be a random matrix, times the gravity to mass square. So one of our main motivation, again, was to suppress this term by having a gravitino mass which is much smaller compared to the gauge mediation contribution. Much smaller but not negligible. Now, it turns out that the fact is the following, the real life is the following. So in the quark sector, it turned out indeed that the flavor changing contributions are suppressed enough in order to get big suppression of the flavor changing, maybe except for the CP variating phases, which are a little bit on the edge. Maybe the CP variating phases, epsilon k, for example, maybe they are not enough suppressed. On the snapton, on the other hand, the life is not so easy, precisely because, as I told you, we had in the second case of 10-10 bar plates, we have light right-handed sleptons. And we want this light right-handed sleptons because we wanted a light, because we have a light neutralino, which was again one of the main outcomes. Since we have light right-handed leptons, which were very welcome from the point of view of dark matter, the price to pay is that the flavor changing effects are not suppressed now in the lepton sector. So this part from gauge mediation here is suppressed in the lepton sector. So this model does not completely solve, does not solve really the problem in the lepton sector. We have flavor changing contributions, which you maybe need some additional flavor symmetries to suppress them. So to give you some example, some numerically, some typical number, a gravitino mass something like 40, like 80 GeV. This gives a neutralino mass typical of the order 40 GeV or so, a typical squared mass in the TeV range. Sleptons, most of them are in the 300-500 GeV range, but one of them is much the right-handed sleptons, are much lighter, and this was welcome for dark matter, but problematic for flavor changing effects here. So that's the price to pay. So probably you'd like to invoke some additional symmetries, maybe, specifically for electronic sector. I didn't get into more detail, but again, from the point of view of the, there is no problem again having such a light neutralino, something like 40 GeV, because it's mostly Bino again. I don't get into these details. You have little constraints because again, it's mostly Bino. So now, what are the prospects? Well, again, from the point of view of the LHC, this was originally written, we start in 2008, so I think now it's properly to, it's better to say it like that, we'll restart hopefully soon. So, of course, you start to search any kind of BSM model, particular supersymmetry, and there are several possibilities. You can have generic gauge generic gravity mediation. Generic gravity mediation, you expect all soft terms to be of the same order, let's say the order gravitino mass, but numerically different. And in principle, you should see some flavor changing effect at some. You should see some flavor changing effects. If you find something which looks like gauge mediation, you have some flavor universality, you have some correlations between the soft terms, some correlations. But again, this correlation depends really on the model you have, if it's minimal gauge mediation or if it's something else. Very likely in this case will be metastable vacuum, in which you should worry. Again, it's very hard to have a gauge mediation with stress interbreaking in the ground state. So I was trying to push the idea that this model, which contain both a little bit of gravity and a bit more of gauge, they could in principle combine advantages and eliminate problems of both mediations, in principle. And in the case in which you have a generalized gauge mediation model in which the mass matrix of the messengers is given, if you want, by the hypercharge generator, or if you want, by the joint SU5 unified theory, then you get a neutrino which is much lighter than the other superpartners. It can be easily a factor of 10 or 20 lighter than the other superpartners. Is the LSP. You have a lot of peculiar Mar ratios at high energy, which is given by just by the Clebsch-Gordan, if you want, of the hypercharge generator. The general universality, specific ratios that I showed you between the general masses at high energy. Light Rathenis leptons, if you have this 10-10 bar multiplets, which is good and bad simultaneously, as I said. Good for dark matter, bad for flavor changing, unless you believe that the next generation of experiments will discover flavor changing in the lepton sector. The dark matter properties, which I didn't discuss much, are different in this case. And of course, one of the main motivations actually was really the fact that the more general case of supersymmetry breaking mediation are worth really attention from point of view LHC perspective, especially models like that in which you have a kind of a hierarchical spectrum. That's a kind of a model which has a hierarchical spectrum, much more hierarchical than the gauge or gravity mediation, and some specific, very specific kind of hierarchical spectrum. Thank you.
What does this imply for dark matter detection? Is it not good, or?
In principle, it's mostly Dino. It's mostly Dino, so from the direct detection point of view, it's screened. So you see it less because it doesn't couple really to that. So it's probably best from the point of view of the direct detection, probably. On the other hand, again, the relic abundance is not really a problem, so you can get the relic abundance correctly. That's not a problem. We didn't think about indirect kind of detection. You can have indirect. I mean, of course, you have in colliders, you have symmetries in colliders,
sure.
Because the spectrum is very peculiar.
So, is there any? There's no particular reason to prefer this model over others that solve the FCNC problem. I've lost track.
Again, one of the motivations for people trying to get neutrino LSP for gauge mediation is that it's a bit of a, I'm not an expert, but it's relatively a complex situation with gravitinous dark matter. So the situation with gravitinous dark matter in gauge mediation is relatively complicated. So in this case, you don't have this. This is really a neutrino.
Mm-hmm.
From the point of view of the flavor changing, it's probably not the main virtue in the end, a posteriori. It does suppress flavor changing efficiently in the squark sector, but not in the lepton sector.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you have a much bigger effect in the leptons than the squark sector. It depends on your point of view. I don't know if it's... But if you really want to solve both of them simultaneously, then you can solve it only if you increase the neutrino mass. Only if you increase it, and then you lose a little bit of motivation. I'm sorry, you can do it only if you decrease, I'm sorry, or if you decrease the gravitino mass, or therefore the neutrino mass. And this we can discuss. You can do this. We didn't insist much because it looked to us it's a bit complicated to defend, but if you really insist on this, we can talk about gamma signals, for example. Because we can talk about the neutrino mass, something like 10 GeV, for example.
if you believe that you can lead reason to Arduino, which is again Lino, like, so it's not excluded. In the 10 GB, 20 GB, you can even talk about Dama, but
you probably don't have enough classes.
It's yeah. Actually, one of the it becomes harder and harder to get a correct LSP. The Radica bundle, so to speak. So
no, I'm wondering the director to explain the Dama signal. You need a large nucleon. Right? You don't
yes,
need
yes,
a line
yes,
mass,
yes, 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 yes,
other comments or questions? Let's thank you again.